We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This is Wichita Sports Daily with Bruce Hurdle and Shane Dennis on Sports Radio KFH, 1240 AM, 97.5 FM.
All right, welcome back to hour number two, Sports Daily. Shane and Bruce here on Sports Radio KFH. Time now to go to the Tad's Locker Room Hotline. We're going to talk to an author. He's got a book out. It's called Now Taking the Field, Baseball's All-Time Dream Team for All 30 Franchises. His name is Tom Stone. Tom, thanks for dropping by this morning. Really appreciate you joining us. How are you? No, our pleasure. Many times when you write a book, the author would say it was a labor of love and it was this and that. I can't imagine this was anything but a whole heck of a lot of fun, gathering up all the data and all the legendary names and players from throughout the years and being able to put together an all-time dream team, because as a fan, we all do this in our heads all the time, and you got to write a book about it. It had to have been a lot of fun, I'm assuming.
Tom, that was going to be my question. The exhaustive nature of something like this, the time that it takes, and to be able to parse through so many statistics, figure out what statistics speak to you the loudest, and then obviously to employ and to use and massage some of the modern day metrics that we all apply to the game. There's a lot of different measurements here, aren't there?
Lifetime war score. I look at sort of wins above replacement per game, so you can look at peak performance as well. I look at the traditional stats, home runs, strikeouts, stolen bases, things that everyone's familiar with. And then I also looked at awards won, like how many times was each player an all-star, MVP awards, things like that. And then also postseason accomplishments, because those don't factor into war. So it's important to consider, were they great in the World Series or the playoffs?
We're talking to Tom Stone. Now Taking the Field is his book. He's got the all-time teams of all 30 Major League Baseball franchises. And I think a really fascinating part of your book is you include selections from other authors and fan surveys, too. So, I mean, it's a comprehensive look of the best of every single Major League Baseball franchise. We'll get to the individual teams here in a minute, because Bruce has got the Red Sox. I got the Royals that I'm curious about. One of the Twitter followers wants to know about the Dodgers. But how did you, if you can give us a thumbnail sketch, start to just whittle down the players and really separate the best of the best?
Right. So from a criteria perspective, like I said, I used war, traditional stats, postseason accomplishments, and awards. But in terms of the makeup of what I did, you know, a lot of authors, like you just mentioned, a lot of fan surveys over the decades have also approached this subject. I'm certainly not the first. They usually pick a starting lineup, maybe a few honorable mentions, a few pitchers. I wanted to be a little more in-depth than that, and so I selected a full 30-man roster for each of the teams. So if you do the math, that's 30 times 30. That's 900 selections I had to come up with. Some players made it onto multiple all-time teams. A few even made it onto three, you know, if they split their career up and so on. But I chose two players at each position, a total of 12 pitchers, definitely heavier on starting pitchers than relief pitchers, just because relief pitchers have really only become a focus of the game in recent decades. And then I had two extra spots. for players that just seemed like they were getting ripped off by not being included, and I just couldn't keep off the roster. So that made it an even 30 for each team.
Okay, so go as just a lifelong Red Sox fan, I'm curious about, and this kind of falls into the category of what Shane just asked, when you have someone like Ted Williams, for instance, in left field, and then you follow him with guys like Carl Yastrzemski and Jim Rice, there's not much to choose from between them. Now, obviously, Ted Williams is arguably the greatest hitter that ever played. But give us, I mean, my God, you've got three Hall of Famers right there, all playing in the same position. So just give me a sense for how you do it.
Yeah, that's definitely one of the most loaded single positions for any team ever. You could throw Manny Ramirez in that mix as well.
Sure.
In fact, I've gotten flack from people on Twitter already saying, you know, how is Manny Ramirez not on the roster? But Williams I have as the starting left fielder. I list Rice second, and that's only because I list Yastrzemski over at first base. I mean, he split his time between left field and first base. But what that then means is that Jimmy Fox and David Ortiz don't have starting positions on this lineup.
And he's got it split up against righties and lefties. We're talking to Tom Stone.
Unreal.
Now Taking the Field is the book. He's got Ted Williams in left field against both righties and lefties. No surprise there. But in order to try to wedge certain players in there and give them their due, you know, you kind of at least platoon them at as crazy as that sounds, right?
Yeah, Yastrzemski, that against right-handed pitchers playing first base, and then he platoons with Jimmy Fox, which just seems insane to have either of them on the bench ever. And then same thing with Ortiz and Rice. I've got them platooning at DH.
So what? Speaking of the Red Sox, what were the no-brainers that they were going to be in the lineup no matter what?
Yeah, I mean, Ted Williams in left field, like you said, arguably the greatest hitter ever. Third base, Wade Boggs seemed like an obvious choice. That's probably the only no-brainers. I've got Fisk and Veritek platooning. It's really close at second base, even though they're both right-handed hitters between Dustin Pedroia and Bobby Doerr. So tough call there. I do have Nomar Garcia-Parra in both lineups as the shortstop, but there were lots of other good shortstops to consider. So very few other tough choices. I will say one thing that, you know, the book's only just come out, and one regret, it's funny we're talking about the Red Sox, but one regret that I already have is not including Mookie Betts on this team, given his great season last year. I did include the 2018 regular season, not the awards or postseason, so I wasn't aware at the time of printing that he would actually win the MVP, but I was certainly aware of the season he was having. And I kind of feel like that's one mistake I've made in the book, is not getting him in there. He could even platoon with Tris Speaker and bat leadoff.
Second edition. No worries, buddy. You got time, Tom.
Exactly.
It's all good.
and that's something you mentioned, second edition. I do plan to write, you know, second, third, fourth editions. Every two or three years, there'll be changes to these lineups as baseball continues to move on.
Talking to Tom Stone, Now Taking the Field is his book, the all-time dream teams for all 30 franchises. And by the way, before we get off the Red Sox and go to the Royals, you have managers for these teams too, right?
Yeah, I selected some managers, not really based on much besides wins-loss record and also postseason appearances. So, for the Red Sox, you know, Terry Francona did so much recently. I gave him the top nod. And then Red Sox have had some other great managers over the years, especially Joe Cronin and others. So, yeah, I didn't spend too much time on the managers, but that was sort of a toss-in for each chapter.
All right, that's understandable. All right, we are the Kansas City Royals on this particular station here in Wichita, and certainly not the storied franchise that Boston or even the Yankees and the Dodgers have had. We'll get to the Dodgers in a second. But just give us an overall thumbnail sketch on what it was like to pour over the potential starting lineups for the all-time Kansas City Royals.
Yeah, the Royals were an interesting one. I mean, they're an expansion era team, so don't have the history, like you said, of some of the longer standing teams. Some were really easy choices, like George Brett at third base, Frank White at second base. There were some closer calls, like what to do at first base between John Mayberry and Mike Sweeney. So I end up platooning them in the lineups. I have to say the Royals are pretty loaded at outfield overall. I mean, relative for being an expansion era team, you got people like Amos Otis, Willie Wilson, Carlos Beltran, Alex Gordon, Hal McRae, who obviously was a DH as well. And then also the relief pitching. My favorite pitcher as a kid growing up in the 70s and 80s was Dan Quisenberry, so he got the top spot there. But Jeff Montgomery, a lot of saves. Soria, Holland, some really good relief pitchers for the Royals. And then starting pitchers, a lot of people to consider. Went with Saberhagen as the top one, but Apier, Gubiza, Leonard, Splittorff, lots of good arms there. Some of them not known by current fans, but certainly they did well when they played for the Royals.
When you look, this is such a fascinating exercise. How much of it, when you sat there and got all of this done and the dust had settled around it, did you start sneaking a peek and say, okay, how much fun would it be to match this team up against this team? Or how good is the Giants all-time team, say, against the Dodgers all-time team? Do you play with that in your brain at all, even with all of statistic right in front of you?
Oh, absolutely. It's fun to think that through, you know, which teams would win in a 7-game series, which ones would win if they played each other 100 times, you know, what would be the breakdown? What about if it was just a single game where a lot of it would come down to who had the better starting pitcher? It varies depending on which question you're asking. It is hard to top the Yankees in terms of their batting line.
Right.
But I wouldn't say that they have the best overall starting pitching staff. Their relievers are pretty strong with Mo Rivera and Goose Gossage and Sparky Lyle and stuff, but their starting staff, although it's good, don't get me wrong, but they are the Yankees after all. But compared to their hitting lineup, it's not their strength.
Talking to Tom Stone, now taking the field is his book. We had one fan weigh in on Twitter, wanted to know about the Dodgers all-time team. Give us a little taste of that. And I know there's degrees of difficulty with these franchises because the longer they've been around, the more great players they've had. But how difficult was it to come up with a couple of starting lineups for the Dodgers?
Yeah, so one thing that I'll note for your listeners is that when I say a franchise, it does span the entire history of the franchise. So for the NL teams, that often goes back to the 1800s. You know, for a team like the Orioles, it includes their time as the St. Louis Browns. And for the Dodgers here, it obviously includes both Brooklyn and L.A. I didn't split it up. But yeah, for their lineup, the hardest, most grueling question was, who is the top starting pitcher? I mean, anyone that's old, I'm 45 years old, people older than me would probably say it's a no-brainer, it has to be Sandy Koufax. But Clayton Kershaw, if you look at his numbers, I think they've actually equaled or even surpassed Koufax thus far. So I actually gave the nod to Kershaw, and I'm ready for the slings and arrows.
Wow.
From some older readers, yeah. Exactly.
I got Stone's kind of movement right there. That's pretty good stuff, Tom. Good Lord. Yeah. I mean, because you also have guys like Drysdale and I mean, there's a lot of choices for the Dodgers over the years. So
yeah, that's right. Yeah, they've got a lot of good starting pitchers. Another tough call was Roy Campanella and Mike Piazza. I mean, Campy, you know, had the tragic car accident that shortened his career, but and Piazza was a great hitter, but Campanella won all those MVP awards, so I did rank him above Piazza. Piazza, of course, split his time with the Mets as well, so that's another thing to realize is I only considered their accomplishments for the particular franchise. So for Piazza, it was only his time for the Dodgers that counted for the Dodgers lineup. Hmm.
Tom Stone, Now Taking the Field is the book. We invite you to pick it up. Tom, who was the surprise? I mean, you know the teams that have been there forever, just by pure volume, are going to have a lot of great players to fill out a roster. But who was the team that, and even as a baseball guy, you probably had a fairly good understanding of what you were going to be dealing with each team. But was there a team that just by the depth of their greatness kind of surprised you a little bit when you started putting this together?
I don't think that there was any one single team. I mean, maybe just how strong the Giants were. I knew they were one of the greatest franchises ever, up there with the Yankees and Cardinals and Dodgers, and Red Sox. But I mean, I was a little surprised, particularly their pitching staff, just how strong that was with Christy Mathewson and Carl Hubbell and Juan Marichal and now Madison Bumgarner. I mean, that's some great names there. The other thing that struck me wasn't so much particular teams that were strong, but for each team, certain positions that were very strong. Like, the Yankees were just loaded over the years at catcher. I mean, that's a very important position, so it had a lot to do with their success, I'm sure. But Yogi Berra, Bill Dickey, Jorge Posada, Thurman Munson, I mean, that's a loaded catcher area. The Pittsburgh Pirates at shortstop with Honus Wagner and Archie Vaughn, or the Atlanta Braves with both Eddie Matthews and Chipper Jones. I mean, how do you choose between those two?
Jeez.
Yeah.
Wow. Now taking the field, baseball's all-time dream teams for all 30 franchises is the book. Tom Stone is our guest here on the Tad's Locker Room Hotline. How hesitant were you to put current players on an all-time team? Sometimes it's unavoidable, like Dustin Pedroia. You got to at least mention a guy like him. But how often did it happen, and how hard was that to do to put him on an all-time list?
Using wins above replacement, I felt like I had something that I could fall back on as an objective measure. So that helped me to make some of those decisions. I don't feel like I weighed modern, contemporary, current players any more or less than all-time greats. I do think I made that one mistake, like I said, with Mookie Betts not being on there after his great season this year. But besides that, if I update the book every few years, I'll be able to make some additions. I did update it very late before the printing to include the 2018 regular season. And aside for missing out on bets, I did get Jacob deGrom onto the Mets starting staff.
Wow. He's
on there because of his great season he had this year. There were a few other, adjustments that I made based on this year, mostly for expansion-era teams. As you guys were noting, it's a lot harder to crack onto a roster that has 130 years of experience. But for some of the expansion era teams, obviously the four from the 90s, the Rockies and Marlins and teams like that, there's going to be a lot of changes pretty much every year or two.
Shane used the term earlier, labor of love. Where does this come from? The willingness to wade into something like this and to take the time and the energy. Talk about your roots in the game of baseball and your fascination with it.
Yeah. Well, I live in Rochester, New York, and I grew up here and still live here. And, we have good weather during the summer, so you can get a lot of baseball in. But during the winter, the so-called hot stove season, we get a lot of snow here. Rochester, Buffalo, and Syracuse are famous for that, lake effect snow. And that meant no time outside for baseball. I played baseball all the way Little League through high school. I was a pitcher. During the off season, it meant no playing of baseball. So it meant thinking baseball. I did a lot of Atari based simulations. I got the baseball encyclopedias and would pore through those as a kid. This is all pre-internet, of course. And I would just start thinking about, all-time team overall, all-time National League or American League. And then at a young age, I got thinking about who would be the all-time for each team, the Pirates, the Red Sox, the Yankees. So at least in my head, I was sort of starting to write this book out, or at least the concept of it and the criteria, at a very young age, 10 or 12 years old. And then it was 1999 when I finally started to draft out some of the chapters. And like I said, it's been off and on since then, almost 20 years, but I'm glad to get it out there.
You know anything about Strat-O-Matic baseball, Tom?
I've never played Strat-O-Matic, but I know people that have. I just read Keith Hernandez's new biography, and he played a lot of Strat-O-Matic. He reported in that book. I know a lot of people that have played it. I played Disc League Baseball, which was a game put out by Cadico, and it had these little circular discs with a spin wheel.
All-Star Baseball. I love that game.
Yeah, All-Star Baseball.
Love
yeah.
that game.
Exactly. In fact, yeah. I made my own disc. I learned a little bit about 360-degree circles and how to do the stats. I don't think that they were as accurate as the ones from Cadico, but it allowed me to create ones for modern players.
But awesome. You know what's really cool about that, Tom, is that I consider myself, well, not like you, but somewhat of a historian of the game, and that game in particular. When you got, you learned about players like Archie Vaughn, and because they had the throwback teams, and so you learned about a lot of those players and their tendencies. My God, I'm glad to find someone that played that game, because we played it religiously through school and stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. Stuff. I still have an edition somewhere collecting dust in my basement, I think.
It's worth hanging on to. Now taking the field is the book, Baseball's All-Time Dream Teams for All 30 Franchises. Tom Stone, the author, and our guest here on the Tad's Locker Room Hotline here on Sports Daily. Tom, really appreciate you taking some time. Best of luck with the book, and thanks again.
Thank you. Appreciate talking to you guys. Good conversation.
All right. Good stuff.
Thank you, Tom.
And for the caller that suggested or requested the Dodgers, Here's their mythical starting lineup for their all-time roster. Against right-hand pitching, this is the Dodgers. Jackie Robinson at second, Zach Wheat in left, Duke Snyder in right, Roy Campanella catching, Mike Piazza DHing, Gil Hodges at first, Willie Davis in center, Jim Gilliam at third, and Pee Wee Reese at short. Against lefties, Reese, Robinson, Snyder, Campanella, Piazza, Hodges, Ron Say at third against lefties, Carl Ferrillo in right, Zach Wheat in left. There's your all-time Dodgers starting lineup against righties and lefties, according to Tom Stone.
I love the Clayton Kershaw over Sandy Koufax, not because I necessarily agree with it, but that he makes the call. I think that's very interesting.
Yeah, here's his Dodgers starters to pick from. Kershaw, Koufax, Dazzy Vance, Don Drysdale, Don Sutton, Oral Hershiser, Fernando, Don Newcomb. That's who you have to decide from. That's awesome.
That's pretty good, man.
Could spend a whole show going over the teams that this guy had to wade through. It's a fascinating book. Really cool.
Well, it's good stuff, and it's there for you. Look it up. Tom Stone, Now Taking the Field. Back in a minute, we continue. 869-1240 is the number. 10:22 in the a.m. Hang with us. We're going to get to Greg Marshall as he gets ready for the test coming up from Baylor on Saturday. That is, we continue right here. Sports Daily with Shane and Bruce, right here on KFH.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.